Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. Open your blue hymnal to number 46. And stand as you are able, for I sing the mighty power of God. Number 46 in the blue hymnal. Welcome to this year's first hymn sing. My name is Ann Waltner, and I am in my second year here at EMU on the music faculty. I come from a slightly different Mennonite tradition than what is normally found around these parts, and for that reason, I have asked John Foss to come and play organ with us for some congregational singing. Some of you may know that I am from South Dakota, the middle part of the country, the part that God smiles on. And so I come from farming people, and I noted with great interest Lauren's opening convocation address. he discussed the parable of the sower, and that is what I would like to focus on this morning as well. He had a slightly different take on the interpretation, at least as pertains to the color of farm machinery. And so parsing perhaps the merits or lack thereof, of red machinery is topic for a different chapel. Though October might mean World Series or Halloween or fall break to you, October means harvest to me. And I've chosen a number of harvest themed hymns this morning, and I think they fit really well together, hand in glove, with the parable of the sower. You'll notice that this morning is Ann Waltner and friends, and I have many people involved, and I am so grateful for your contributions. Thank you in advance. To refresh your memory of the parable, I have asked Hannah and Aaron, Hannah Schultz and Aaron Hooven, to read the parable to you.
Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds were gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat there. While the whole crowd stood on the beach, he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow."
And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen.
Thank you. The next hymn that we'll sing this morning is one of my favorites by a local hero, Brad Lehman. It's number 140 in your blue hymnal, and I've asked some of my second year theory students to come help lead you in it. It might be unfamiliar to you, so if you need to listen the first time for the first verse, please do. I think it is gorgeous, and I hope that you'll agree. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? It takes some getting used to, but I think it's stunningly gorgeous. As I said, I chose the parable of the sower not because I have a bone to pick, but because it is one of the parables that affects me most viscerally. I certainly bear witness to the old adage that you can pluck the girl from the farm, but you can't pluck the farm from the girl. I spent many hours of my life in a tractor cab on a tillage rig, which is at least as riveting as it sounds. The objective of tilling is to prepare a seed bed that can nurture seeds to flourish. Though perhaps today farmers don't struggle with seeds being eaten by birds, mostly because of innovations in planter configurations, but farmers do spend a lot of time worrying about rocky ground, the quality of topsoil, scorching sun, and thorns, or in our case, weeds that choke out the plants. Often I think that town birds, and that is the disparaging reference we use to describe anyone who did not grow up on a farm or live on an active farm. I am now one of you. I'm a town bird. Town birds think that farming is somehow quaint or romantic or somehow idyllic, and I've always sort of chafed at that utopian imagery. It's legalized high-stakes gambling with no do-overs, and there are no answers in the back of the book. Let's say a farmer is able to get his or her seed sown and it germinates. Before you get to the finish line of harvesting grain 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, you've got miles to go before you sleep. You hope that you've planted the right seed varieties. You've struggled with facing constant weed pressure and parasitic insects. And those are only the things you can kind of control. There are so many things that we simply cannot control. We can't influence the following things, no matter how nice or how kind or how talented we are. My people in South Dakota do not irrigate their ground. Instead, we pray for rain, but not too much. And please keep the hail at bay. We can't control commodity prices either. Even if a farmer does indeed enjoy the great blessings of 30, 60, or 100-fold bushelage, there's no guarantee that the price will cover the expenses. So we pray. We remain faithful that the good years will outnumber the bad, and we trust that learning and growth, however painful, will accompany the ends we did not anticipate. So why am I not waxing nostalgic about farming and other irrelevances? I'm curious how you're managing your own seedbed preparation. What steps are you taking now to position yourself to realize your own harvest? I'm interested in knowing what seed varieties you've planted. What's your strategy to control weed pressure? Studying and practicing, yes, but are you also taking time for play, Sabbathing, taking time to cultivate relationships? Are you upgrading your machinery? Are you managing your physical health, your mental health, spiritual health? What are you doing to manage the variables you can control? And what are your contingency plans for the variables you can't control? Your hailstorms, your droughts, or flood years? Upon graduation, which is your harvest, how will you react if the job market in your major is utter crap? If you can't get into the grad school of your choice, or any grad school for that matter, smarter people than you and I have endured these hardships. My wish for you and my wish for me is that we have the grace and courage to remain faithful, that the good years will outnumber the bad, and that we trust that learning and growth, however painful, will accompany the ends we did not anticipate. As an homage to my home, I will ask that you check out the text to number 35 in your hymnal, blue hymnal. And I'll ask Owen to come to the front here. This is a Lakota tune, and after all that, those flowery things that I said about the South Dakota harvest, I am painfully reminded that the land that I love so much is not mine. It's not even my family's. The same is true for you here in Virginia or for wherever you come from, for the vast majority of us. Even if you come from native people, it bears mentioning that the holy ground we stand upon is not ours. We're simply caretakers, planting our garden, sowing seed, tilling the soil, and praying for a fruitful harvest. Take a look at number 35. You'll see lots of imagery of creation. And there's a special shout out to both heavens and mountains and plains.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like you to turn to number 62 in the green hymnal. As you're having, Sarah, Sam, Julio, and Lauren are making their way up to the front, check out the text to the verses of Christ is the World. I'm going to encourage you to lean deeply and read deeply into the text. At different points in my life, I felt a real resonance with each of the verses at a different time. Which verse speaks especially clearly to you this morning? Wrestle with that verse's text over the course of today.
Parable of the sower explained. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears a word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away.
As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Thank you to the readers and to the singers. We've got two more hymns this morning, and as a sung benediction, we'll sing number 97 in unison together. Please stand as you are able. In your blue hymnal, we're going to sing number 97 together, once in unison, and then we'll split into three groups. Two is going to be overpowering, but ones and threes hold strong. You on the east side will be group one, middle is group two, west side is group three. After we're finished with number 97, turn the page, and we'll go straight into one of my favorite harvest-themed general conference barn burners. We'll sing verses 3 and 4 in unison, while John rocks out. Verse 97.